Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, in a new departure, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, has said that he'll establish a domestic violence register of people convicted of rape or serious sexual assault, which would be similar to the lists published of tax offenders, he said. The minister also promised a review of the law on the disclosure of counselling notes. He was responding to a private member's motion on gender-based violence introduced by People Before Profit Solidarity TD Ruth Coppinger, which called for a range of measures, including preventing access to counselling records by the accused and their defence team.
Well, in a few minutes, we'll hear from Deputy Ruth Coppinger. But first, the Justice Minister has also said that he hoped to bring a memorandum to government next month for legislation on what campaigners have called Valerie's Law, which would allow courts to remove guardianship rights from parents or guardians who kill or seriously harm another parent or guardian of their child. And before we came on air, I spoke to David French, brother of Valerie French, who Valerie's Law has been named after, and I began by asking him for his reaction to what happened today.
This is absolutely very, very positive. I mean, I know it's in the programme for government and all of that, but it's really good to see it being prioritised by the minister so early in the government's term. And of course, I'd also like to mention the draft bill that Holly Cairns TD is working on and also hopes to introduce shortly.
And what is that?
So Holly Cairns' bill is basically to do the same thing, to implement Valerie's Law. This, you know, today was all in the context of Ruth Coppinger's motion on gender-based violence. And as you've probably mentioned already in the programme, a lot of things came up. The use of counselling notes, the refuges, Valerie's Law, Jenny's Law for Domestic Violence Register. This covered a wide range of areas, and it's great to see Valerie's Law, the removal of guardianship rights from killers, being prioritised as part of all of that. There's many important issues here. This is just one of them.
You and other survivors of gender-based violence were in the visitors' gallery for that two-hour debate in the Dáil today. Were you expecting the minister to say what he said?
I was impressed. I expect him to say that it's in the programme for government. I didn't know that there had been that much progress, that there would be a memo going next month, which is literally next week, to start the work on that. So I'm impressed by that and thankful.
Can you remind me, if you don't mind, David, why it is that you began campaigning on this?
So this basically started when the verdict of murder was rightfully handed down on James Kilroy, my former brother-in-law. He had murdered my sister Valerie, and the three children, our three children, are now, he is the guardian of them, which is, he is a guardian of those three children. And that's a ridiculous situation. As the minister had pointed out on TV earlier, before he was the minister, he said, he described this situation as an anomaly in law. It's effectively a loophole where people haven't, the legislation hasn't really caught up. This isn't a super common situation. But again, it is very, very traumatic for those children and for the victims' families to have someone who has failed completely in their duty of care to the children still being left there as a guardian.
So how much relief then would it bring you and your family if this legislation did indeed get through in the next year or two?
It would bring a lot of relief as a kind of marker that this is unacceptable in the country going forward. It won't bring back Valerie. It won't probably impact our situation majorly. It may not even be retrospective. But I think it would be good if the system can be seen to learn from horrific situations and extract something positive from what is the ultimate crime.
I don't know, David, do you have any thoughts on the other things that the minister was talking about today? For example, the sexual offenders list, a public list to be published in the same way a tax offender list is published.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea that tax offenders and a property crime and, you know, not paying your taxes and whatever is listed in that way, but we have kept things like sex offenders, perpetrators of murder, keeping some of those things inside a private sphere as if it's all a separate space is wrong. I mean, a lot of victims have come out. You know, met Donna McCarthy today, who's come out and stuff. Blonald O'Reilly has been on TV. Natasha O'Brien has come out and stuff. And they are waiving anonymity to bring these cases into the public space. That weight shouldn't be on victims. If the state is putting money into a prosecution, it should be able to publicise the people who have been convicted of these serious crimes. At the moment, we have a situation where I'm not even given the prisoner number of my former brother-in-law because of GDPR and privacy.
Wow. Can I ask you finally about a promise as well from the Minister today to review the law on the disclosure of counselling notes? This is where counselling notes can be used or disclosed to the defence in a case, the counselling notes of a victim.
Yeah, the discussion on that mentioned a former piece of legislation referenced as 19A, which was supposed to preclude use of counselling notes. But my understanding from the discussion is that despite that effort to take that kind of information out of the public sphere in the court, in practice at the moment, the counselling notes are being brought in, and that is a ridiculous situation. It keeps victims from seeking health, which is seeking therapy and seeking medical help for a terrible crime that's been perpetrated against them. If you know someone's not going to go into therapy if they think everything they say to their therapist is going to be dragged out in court. And I could see, you know, the group that are there, the survivors of this sort of violence, were very, very much in favour of, look, you know, these counselling notes cannot be left or brought out in public in court. And the minister obviously has to find some way to ensure that we go forward with fair trials, as is everyone's right, but not damage the victims even further.
Well, it's very interesting to speak to you, David, and thank you for joining us on the programme again. I appreciate your time. And that was David French, brother of Valerie French, speaking to me just a little earlier on.
Now, Jim O'Callaghan was responding to a private member's motion on gender-based violence introduced by People Before Profit Solidarity TD Ruth Coppinger, as we said. And Ruth Coppinger joins us now from her Edictus studio. You're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to David French there. What's your reaction?
Well, obviously, I'm delighted for David and for other families who've been put in this situation. If there is going to be progress, it was something that we had listed. It was something that was raised by my colleague Mick Barry in the Dáil. It's just absolutely incredible. It's patriarchy writ large that a man or a person can murder their spouse, the parent of their child, still have custody, guardianship, a say in their education, where they go, what they do. And actually also, by the way, you can still inherit. It's just incredible that that has been left so long when it arose many years ago and was highlighted, for example, by Celine Cawley's family.
Mm-hmm. It is remarkable, as you say, that it's been left that long. Does it bring you, I don't know if hope is the right word, or does it give you some comfort that Jim O'Callaghan says he's going to bring a memo to government next month for legislation on that very issue? I mean, he seems to be moving promptly on that one.
He's moving promptly on that one, and I think the Social Democrats had a bill. I was going to draft a bill. I've spoken to David. David was there today, and it was something that clearly needed to be done. The difficulty with today's discussion was this. We had a gallery full of survivors and their families. Mm-hmm. People who've taken the extremely difficult decision to pursue a case in the first place. 5% of adult victims of sexual violence take a case. Only 14% ever get to trial. An incredibly low figure. If you think about this crime, it's basically unprosecuted. If you look at those statistics.
So can I ask you about that? So only 5% take a case, and you're saying only 14% of that 5 go to trial, is that it?
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And those were, figures that were released recently. So these are people who've been through the process and who've spoken out from the court steps, waived their anonymity, told the public, told the minister of the traumatic violation of not just their bodily integrity in the first crime, but of their experience in court. And yet we still have a situation where nothing has been moved on to make that process any easier. So the minister said he has officials looking at the counselling notes situation. And I just want to say one thing, that the constitution has been dramatically, you know, over-interpreted. I would die in a ditch for the right to a fair trial, but the idea that you need somebody's therapy notes and private thoughts to vindicate your right to a defence is ludicrous. And it is purely a misogynistic hangover that has been used and is now being abused.
But I suppose the fact is that the government and the minister are saying they're looking at this, and maybe they want to be absolutely sure that they're moving legally and correctly, so it's not challenged in the courts and not brought down.
Of course, but also we do have to sometimes go for things that will be challenged. You know, we can't always hide behind. This has been called upon by the Citizens Assembly in 2021, yeah, by the government, by, you know, past Taoiseach and ministers. So it has to go. And women in particular, and we had also male victims of violence there today too, have now said how traumatising this is and how damaging. And the Rape Crisis Network told me on Monday that the actual demand now is 100%. It's almost universal that really? These are being demanded. It is not rare. Okay. And so 19A is being abused.
Can I ask you finally on the establishment, the possible establishment of a domestic violence register of people who are convicted of rape or serious sexual assault? What do you think the impact of that be? Would it be punitive? Would it be preventative? Would it be public awareness or all of the above? What would it be in your opinion?
Well, I think we'll have to see what the minister is exactly talking about. Like, it wasn't something that I called for in my motion today. We called, but I do think I'm willing to hear what's being said. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is this: there should be shame to any person who perpetrates sexual or gender-based violence or domestic violence, which is considered in a lesser way. And we need now pressure on the Oireachtas, because today I have to say that the survivors that were there were extremely disappointed at the turnout of TDs. There was one government representative sitting there listening to the debate, one, Jim O'Callaghan, and then he was replaced after 35 minutes by a junior minister deputising for him. That was an actual insult to those that were there today, and we need to bring pressure from outside the Dáil now onto the establishment. We need International Women's Day on March the 8th, 1 o'clock in Dublin, Limerick and Cork, to be major demonstrations of support, standing with survivors, demanding change and demanding action. Two women, it seems, in the last 24 hours have been killed in this country. Okay. And we have an epidemic and we need action.
Ruth Coppinger, People Before Profit Solidarity TD. Thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme.